Precious Father, we come before you this morning to say thank you, to appreciate you for your goodness to us, for your loving kindness, for the gift of life, for provisions. Father, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord, that in spite of all that is going on, you are very faithful. Thank you for your love to us. Dear Lord, and this morning we pray that your love shall continue even to be shown unto us. Lord, as we hear your word, pray, Lord, you make your word to come alive unto us, and you bless each and every one of us indeed. Thank you, precious Father, because we have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want you to come really to know that God indeed has been very, very good. The virus, the plague has been raging for quite a while. Many have died. Many have suffered so much of losses. And Christians have not been exempted. Children of God have not been exempted. Because we are in the world, though we are not of the world, what happens in the world affects us. But the promise we have from the Lord is that through it all, He's going to show us His goodness. The topic of my message this morning is all things work together for our good. All things work together for our good. Please, can you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8? We are going to read from verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 8, we are going to read from verses 28 to 30. It says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Verse 29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." I want to read verse 28 again, because that's where we're taking our topic for the message. "And we know." And perhaps we personalize it. You will say, "And I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." First, I want to say that Christians too experience bad times. Christians too experience bad times. The topic is an affirmation of the truth that is expressed in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It is an established truth that God is there to be the help of His children even when they are in difficulty. This scripture offers hope. It offers comfort. It offers direction to believers, particularly those who may be going through difficult times. Many a times, we say off-mindedly, without seriously giving thought to it. We say God is good all the time, especially unto me. God is good all the time, especially unto me. We say this without seriously giving consideration to what this statement means. Many situations befall Christians that can make them say life is difficult, that can make them say life is bad. The truth is that life can be bad in many instances, even to Christians. Loss of a loved one, outright failure, struggle in life without much success, career failure, oppression from superiors, and the like. Even difficulty at times in our Christian ministry, businesses, and the like. So the truth is that Christians also experience bad times in life. When life challenges and problems are so much, are so bad, sometimes we as Christians may wonder, someone who is a Christian may wonder, if God is still good. Sometimes we can question our purpose in life, whether God has the best of our interest in his heart. Sometimes it can also affect our love for him. The elements of the world rage. The devil is still at work in the world. He is about his duty, going to and fro to cause havoc. And I want to say that as long as we are Christians and we are in the world, God can be our help. He has, Jesus said it unto us. He said, in this world we shall have trials, in this world we shall have tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer, he has overcome the world for us. So we are not totally immune from these bad things that happen in the world. And that is why we are not totally immune from COVID-19. Certainly some Christians have died. That is why if you have life today, you should still thank God. If you are alive and well, you should still thank God. Some have lost their jobs. For some, their businesses have crumbled or have stagnated. Hopes have been dashed. Travels have been stalled. Opportunities have been canceled. The truth is that these things happen to us, but God is still with us. God will still see us through. God will still lift us up. God will ensure that these things does not totally wreck us. Like the Bible says, it says the righteous may fall 7 times, but the Lord will still raise him. Many of our brethren in the entertainment industry have been badly hit. I want to speak to you today in the name of the Lord that you should be comforted. You should be hopeful. The Lord God is still there for you. Whatever losses you have suffered, the Lord God is powerful enough to bring about a restoration. And I trust that the Lord will intervene in the life of each and every one of us, even to do this in Jesus' name. That scripture says, and we know. And I want to ask you, do you know? Do you know that God can still turn things around? With all the things that are happening in the world, do you know still? Will you say that God is good to you? Personalize the "we" in that statement. Will you say God, or can you say God is still good to me? How can a believer know that God is still good to him in a situation like this, when things are so bad, when suffering is prolonged? How can you, as a believer, still be able to say in your heart, "And I know that God is working out a purpose because I love him"? The knowledge here is not mere mental assent. It's not something you just say offhandedly, but it speaks about a persuasion that comes from personal dealings with the Lord. A persuasion in your heart that comes from your personal relationship with the Lord. It is like what Paul stated in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. He says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit to him against that day. Do you know that God is able to keep your plans for you against that day? Do you know that God is still able to bring your desires to come to pass? Do you know that in spite of all that COVID-19 has done, in spite of the world being turned upside down, can you say you know? Can you tell the Lord that you know? Is it settled in your heart that you know? Is there an assurance in your spirit that you know? Are you persuaded? In Job chapter 2 verses 9 to 10, maybe we should look at it. Please, can you turn to me quickly to the book of Job chapter 2 verses 9 to 10. Job chapter 2 verses 9 to 10. It says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.'" Here we can see the wife of Job. When Job was in trouble, when Job was in problem, when the devil came and buffeted Job, and he lost everything that we can say he can have in the world. He lost his children. He lost his possession. He lost his health. The only thing God still gave him that he didn't lose, that God didn't allow the devil to take, was his life. I don't know what state you are today. What have you lost as a result of COVID-19? You still have your life. as Job had it. But his wife came. His wife told him, you've lost your health. You are not well. You are suffering. All my children are gone. All the possessions are gone. Now we are very poor. The wife was telling him. He said, and you still maintain your integrity that you love God. He says, curse God even if you will die. Curse God and die. And I want to ask you this morning, is your thoughts like that of the wife of Job? Or are you maintaining your integrity before the Lord to say, God is still good in my life? Are you like Job's wife? Or are you like Job himself? During our times of trials, many people who love us, because they love us, they will come and give us all kinds of advices, though they may lack understanding of the workings of God in the lives of his children. They will bring suggestions that will imply that God is not good to you, or is not working out something eventually good in your life. They will tell you to discard God. They will tell you to discard your integrity, your faith, your trust in God. People who love you, they are saying it because they love you. But they lack understanding. Some will tell you this God is too slow. He can't help you. Discard this God. They will tell you God is not against Ajo. God is not against you going by the flesh to work out things for yourself. Are you like Job's wife, or you are like Job himself? I pray that the Lord will grant you grace to be like Job. In your difficult times, in your times of trials, in times wherein things are bad for you, wherein life wants to consume you, so to say, wherein shame and reproach is impending, I pray that the Lord will grant you the grace to hold on to the Lord, to say, the Lord has integrity. The Lord still loves me. The Lord is working out all things, even for my good. Let's return to our text, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I want you to decipher what this scripture says. What does this scripture say? What does it not say? What does it say? What does it not say? First of all, I want us to know that this scripture does not say that all things are good. What that scripture says is that God can use all things for our ultimate good. Certainly, all the adverse effects of COVID-19 are not good. But God can use the experience we have during this time for our ultimate good. This means that God is all-powerful. God is all sovereign to turn our situations around even for our good. We have been hearing messages along this line. For some of us, it will be that God will use this time to bring harmony into our homes. God will make us to understand one another better in our homes. Husbands will see face to face with their wives. Children will blend more with their fathers who, peradventure before, have not been staying home much, running after money all the time. Maybe this is what God will work out. For some, it will be that God may make you to be able to sit down and think of ideas that rule the world. An idea that will rule the world. That will make your life better. or that we greatly influence the kingdom of God for the better. So God can use this time for our ultimate good. Satan comes and he buffets us. The effects of sin goes around. But we can know that whether it is a result of sin, or it is a result of the situations in the world, or it is a result of attack from the devil, if you are a child of God, and like the Bible says, if you love God, and you are called according to his purpose, as we are going to see, then God can turn whatever situation you are around, even for your ultimate good. For believers, we have the assurance from scriptures that God will eventually bless us. That all of our experiences will work for our ultimate good. Secondly, I want to say that that scripture does not permit us to deliberately live our lives contrary to God's word, thinking that God is going to come and fix up the mess. That scripture does not permit us to go and to mess up our lives and to say, yes, I'm a child of God. God is going to fix me up at the end. I want you to know that this promise from the word of God is for those who love God. Those who are doing their best to stay in line with God's word, to obey the Lord, to obey the will of God for their lives. Those who are doing their best in life to live for God. Those who love God. Do you love God? As we are going to see later, if you love God, there are certain things you will do, there are certain things you will not do. There will be a tendency for you to do certain things when you love the Lord. There are certain things you will gravitate away from. This promise is for those who love the Lord. Though such persons may experience bad things in life, ultimately, God will use them to bring about goodness in their lives and in the lives of others. Number three, that scripture is letting us know that God has a purpose, an ultimate purpose, which he wants to fulfill and accomplish in the lives of his children, even by that which they are going through. This has to do with the calling of God for each believer according to his purpose. The purposes of God generally can be said to be in two folds. One is salvation for the person who is not yet saved. Salvation for the person, generally in the world, salvation for the individual who is not yet saved. Secondly, for the person who is saved, the purpose is that the person will mature unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I want to say that God, whatever it is you are going through, God wants to fulfill these purposes in your life. It may take different dimensions. It may be by different experiences. But God wants to fulfill these two purposes in your life. The Bible makes us to know that we have been saved. Every believer was unsaved until they were saved. You can look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. The Bible says, by grace are we saved. So we have been saved. And when we have been saved, we go through a lifetime, and at the end of our lives, ultimately, the Bible makes us to know that we shall be saved. So there is a beginning of our salvation, there is the end of our salvation. We shall be saved at the end of time. In the day of the Lord. This talks about the second coming of Christ. We shall be saved. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. But between this time period wherein we are saved, and between the time period wherein we shall be saved, wherein we shall see the Lord face to face, the Bible makes us to know that we are being saved. We are being saved. And I want to read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, from the ESV version. It says, "Now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word which I speak to you, unless you believe in vain." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. By which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Some people will tell you, once saved, saved forever. False doctrine. Absolutely false doctrine. My brothers and my sisters, may I tell you, may I encourage you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When you are saved, you enter into a realm of life wherein you are continuously being saved by being delivered from everything that wants to pull you back to the world. When you are saved originally, you are saved in the sense of being kept apart from the world. You are called out of the world and you are being kept apart. You are being saved. It is like you are saving money in the bank for a future purpose. Or for our children, like we encourage them in those olden days, when they are small, you encourage them in the habit of saving. You give them money, coins, and they have a small container. They can drop the money into it, but they cannot draw it out. So it is made, so they have some coins, they have some little notes, they go into that saving container and they drop the money into it. And they keep dropping the money into it. By that you inculcate in them the sense of saving. So the same way that child is saving that money for a future purpose, the same way God has saved your life for a future purpose. But then we know that in life we experience a lot of things that wants to draw us back into the world. The Bible calls these things of the world. They comprise the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are these things that want us to lose our salvation. They want to draw us back from the kingdom of God back into the world. The Bible calls them all that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. There are temptations that come our way in life, and their goal is to make sure we lose our salvation. But as these temptations come, if God gives you the grace to hold on to Christ, if God gives you the grace to remain with the Lord, God then is constantly saving you from these temptations. God then is constantly saving you from all that is in the world, from the lust of the flesh, from the lust of the eyes, and from the pride of life. So we are being saved. Every day we are being saved. As you go to work, you are being saved. As one temptation wants to draw you out and destroy your life, you are being saved if you have the grace and you hold on to the Lord. Also, aside from overcoming temptations, God prunes us to become more matured in Christ so that we can bear more fruits for Him. The Bible makes us to know in John chapter 15, verse 2, it says, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. That your life will be useful unto the Lord. That you'll become more like Jesus Christ. That you'll become more like your Savior. When God is pruning you, it is not because you are in sin. It is because God wants you to cut off all inexpediencies. For some of us, it is maybe too much sleep. For some of us, it is talkativeness and things like that. For some, it is just an attitude. And God wants to prune you. For some of us, it is friends we have that will not allow us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. For some of us, it is our attitude to money, how we spend, and things like that. Inexpediencies in life that can make your life not to be useful to God. God can come and prune you. And by doing so, you may experience some difficulty. If you're a Christian and God is pruning you and you do not know, you will think and say, God is not good. In fact, some we may decide to leave the faith. They may think, God is not good. How can I be serving God? How can I be doing this? I'm not in sin, and yet I'm still suffering this. It is because God wants to make you a better Christian. God wants to sharpen you, make you a sharp threshing instrument to fulfill His purposes in life. So God has an ultimate purpose. The purpose is that you'll be saved. The purpose is that you shall be saved. That at the end of your life, you will see Jesus Christ, your Savior, face to face. The purpose is that you will be continuously saved in life from everything that wants to draw you back unto God. The Bible says, because God has an ultimate purpose for you, if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, the Bible says you can assuredly say, you can persuasively say, you can say with a persuasion in your heart that I know that all things I'm going through, all things I'm experiencing, bad or good, that God is using them to work something, God is making them to work together for my good, for the purpose of God in my life. So I want to examine love of God. Do you love God? It is during the period when we have been saved that we can demonstrate our love for God. Do you love God? When you love God, it is manifest in a number of ways. And I want to just speak about three of these ways. The first one is, if you love God, you will keep his commandments. As the scripture tells us in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21 of the same chapter, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Do you love God? Your love for God demonstrates your loyalty to the Lord. It demonstrates your loyalty to the Lord. It includes you loving the brethren and loving your neighbor. When you love the brethren, when you love your neighbor, you will not want to harm them. You will not want to do something that is bad unto them. 1 John chapter 23 verse 5 says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you love the Lord, you will keep the commandments of the Lord. The ultimate commandment of the Lord is that you will be ruled by the Holy Spirit. You will yield your spirit to the Holy Spirit for him to instruct you, for him to guide you, for him to show you what is right and what is not right, for him to lead you as to what you are to do on a daily basis. You will open up your spirit to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for direction. It will not just be by a matter of rule that you'll be living. The Holy Spirit will inspire you and direct you day by day for every situation of life. You will not just be keeping the commandments of God as a duty. You begin to keep the commandments of God because you love the Lord. As the Holy Spirit inspires you, instructs you day by day for each situation of life, you will learn to yield and to obey the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the love of God is sown into our hearts. You allow the Holy Spirit to sow the love of God even into your heart. Do you love to keep the Lord's commandments? Or do you deliberately flout the Lord's commandments? Number two, if you love the Lord, you will delight in the Lord. You will have a passionate love for the Lord. And I liken this to a husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband, who love each other passionately. Or you are a brother, a sister or a girl, a lady is betrothed to you. You know how you feel. You can feel like that for the Lord. You can love the Lord passionately. David loved the Lord passionately. And that was why he was able to sing that song in Psalm 63, verse 1. As thou hast panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone at my heart desire, and I long to worship you
as the heart.
Oh, as the heart panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship you.
Dear Lord, you alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship. Thank you, Lord. Do you delight in the Lord? Do you passionately love the Lord? Do you desire to be in God's presence? Do you cherish that which pertains to Him? Do you love to commune with the Lord? How is your quiet time? Do you sing from the bottom of your heart unto the Lord? Do you long to spend quality time with the Lord? Do you study your Bible and God speaks to you? How is your prayer life? Are you constantly in touch with the Lord every time of your life? Is your heart yoked to the Lord? Do you delight in the Lord? Do you love to be in God's presence? If you delight in the Lord, you will stand in defense of the gospel. You will love to defend the gospel. You will love to preach the gospel. You will love to please the Lord. You will love to be surrounded by the awesome presence of the Lord. In Jude 3, the Bible says, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was long once delivered unto you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have. You will love to evangelize. You will love others to come and experience the same goodness of God that you experience. You will share the gospel with others. Do you delight in the Lord? Number three, if you love the Lord, you'll be committed unto the Lord in service. Your service to the Lord will emanate first from your love for Him and not from duty. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will find that God wants you to serve him out of love for him and not out of duty. Serving God should be our natural love-filled response to him who first loved us. So, are you keeping the Lord's commandments? Do you delight in the Lord? Are you committed in service to the Lord? When you love the Lord this way, and you have been called according to his purpose, the Bible says you can say assuredly, "And I know that all things work together for my good." For those who love God, because I love God, and because I am called for his purpose. Now, when you do all these things, during difficult times, there is a pathway that God will take to bring restoration to your life. I want to quickly look at that pathway. We can look at Psalm 37. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 37. I want to read briefly. Psalm 37. Let's read from verse 3. I want to read verse 3 to 7. God, there is a pathway by which God will restore you when you are in difficult situation. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." Verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." So, there's a pathway. The first pathway is what we have seen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Love God. Seek the kingdom of God first. When you want to do anything, consider the Lord first. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Delight yourself in the Lord. Number two, be committed unto him in service, as we have seen. Matthew chapter 6 verse 23, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Romans 12:11 says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Be diligent to serve the Lord. Number three, commit your way unto the Lord. This scripture means you already have your way. You have a plan. You have a desire. You have something you are doing. Or if you don't have, you know what you want to do. Step into it. Commit your plans and desires unto the Lord. And the Bible says he will bring it to pass. Psalm 37 verse 5, it says, "Commit your way unto the Lord." And it says, "Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So you commit your desires unto the Lord. You commit your plans unto the Lord. The Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord. Ask and it shall be given you." Matthew 7:7. "Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you." You have a plan. You have a desire. You love the Lord. You delight in the Lord. You are serving the Lord. in your difficult time. You are desiring something, the fruit of the womb, a better job, your business to become better. You want to travel. God, make a way, this and this and that. Commit it unto the Lord. Put God first. After that, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, irrespective of whatever you may be experiencing. When you have committed it unto the Lord, you need to trust in the Lord. Remember, you have a way. Commit your way, your plan, your desire, what you are doing, what you are stepping into. Your business, your career, your academics, whatsoever it is you are involved in, you are engaged in, doing, where you want to be. In the next 1 month, in the next 2 months, in the next year, commit it unto the Lord. When you have committed it, trust in the Lord. Mark 11:23-24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Avoid doubts. Let the word of God spring forth faith in you, so you do not doubt. Trust in the Lord. Don't go after the Ishmael alternative. That is, rest in the Lord. When you are trusting in the Lord, learn to rest in the Lord. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret to go after empty wicked schemes to bring your plans to come to pass. Avoid the urgings of the flesh. Do not go after the Ishmael alternative. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. When you have rested in the Lord, when you are resting the Lord, the Bible says, dwell in the land. Dwell where God wants you to be. Because the blessing of God is location specific. Don't be like Brother Elimelech, who left Israel to Moab and went there, and before he came back, he didn't even come back. He had suffered so much of losses. Meanwhile, God had begun to bless Judah again. Dwell in the land that God wants you to dwell. A number of prayer points will be displayed after this message. Please, I want you to stay wherever you are and pray these prayer points. Pray the prayer points. Dwell in the land, and the blessings of God will reach you and meet you in the land. Are you experiencing difficulties? I want to let you know that God is powerful, strong enough, and willing to turn your situation around. No matter how much your life is a mess, God can fix you again. Delight in the Lord, love the Lord, serve the Lord, trust the Lord, rest in the Lord, and the Lord will bring your desires to come to pass. Shall we pray? I just want you to pray. You can pray to the Lord. You can say, dear Lord, help me so that I delight greatly in you as my God, and grant me the grace to be committed to serve you acceptably. I just want you to pray to the Lord. And as you pray, the Lord will answer your prayers. Father, thank you for today and for your word which you have brought to us. Oh, dear Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone who has heard this message and who will hear this message. The Lord will help us so that, Lord, in our times of difficulty, trials, lack, we will stay with you. We will love you. We will serve you. We'll not go after another God. We will not take to the Ishmael alternative. Lord, we will obey you. And you help us to remain in grace. Lord, as we go this week, please go with us. Please bless us. Please direct our ways. Please help us to stay strong in Christ. Lord, please open the heavens unto us. Lord, let life become pleasant unto us. Father, answer our prayers. We trust you to protect us and to shield us from all evil. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.